Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the midst of things that we cannot understand, help us to hold fast to the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. 1 Corinthians 15 is going to become a familiar text over the course of ministry and over the course of Christian faith and life for all of us. It's a familiar text and one that is going to bracket many of your opportunities to serve people and many of the opportunities to proclaim the faith and many of your own private meditations as Christian men and women in the course of meditations on what it means to be a living human being who's looking forward to eternal life. That prayer with which I began is one of the concluding prayers of the Christian funeral service, and this text comes up a lot. It comes up a lot at gravesites. But it also is given to us as the epistle lesson for Easter Sunday mornings, for sunrise services in Series A, and for the main service in Series B, and here at the end of the Epiphany season. These moments are not insignificant or arbitrary, because as we come to the end of this afterglow of Christmas set of weeks, and we see the revelations of our Lord Jesus Christ becoming more and more clear as he shows himself, manifests his glory to the people of Israel, to the Gentiles around, he is teaching, to those who are receivers of his blessings by his miracles and by his teaching, as he demonstrates himself as the compassionate Lord, he is also looking forward to the resurrection that is going to come 3 days after his crucifixion. And so, as a down payment, as a foretaste of the feast to come, we are given these readings in the last days of Epiphany to put in our pocket as we take the journey into Lent. Some 3 weeks here now. 1 Corinthians 15, leading up to his transfiguration, when the Alleluias will be put away until the day when we can sing them all the more joyfully at Easter morning. But isn't there yet an epiphany beyond that? A demonstration of the glory of the risen and ascended Christ when he shows himself not just to the people of Israel or to his disciples, and not just to those of us who have come to know him by baptism and by word and sacrament, but to all the world on the last day. And it is in this hope that Paul writes these words to encourage his Corinthian Christians. Now, his Corinthian Christians needed encouragement. They needed encouragement because of the challenges that they were experiencing in their own congregation, in their own company of believers, in their own company of faith. And Paul begins his letter with a meditation on the cross and its importance for them for their own crucifying of their pride, of their sinful flesh, of the arrogance with which they are approaching their discipleship, and the divisions that that caused, the various things that led them into sin, was to imagine that the resurrection had already happened for them, that they were above and beyond any of the simple things that they had learned from Paul. But the cross is a reminder that as Christ was crucified and as he humbled himself, so also ought we. So also are we to recognize that the cross is the shape of the Christian life. It is the matter of the cross that called them to begin with. But he ends and kind of pulls them forward all the way through to this moment when he can unpack for them the glory of the crux of the matter, the resurrection of the body. And not just a resurrection in their minds or in their hearts, or a resurrection played out in the good lives that they might lead as a reflection of the good life of their master. No, the resurrection of the body. And that this is the hope on which all their faith was built. This was the hope that Christ himself was pulling them forward to and would on the last day announce. That even in their life together, the cross should crucify the sin in them, but that it was the power of the resurrection. It was the power of the living Jesus, his ascended life with them in the flesh and blood, that was going to empower them to live the life that Paul was calling them to live. To not return to the law, but to walk by the Spirit because of the resurrection of their living Lord. And that resurrection was not based on figments of anyone's imagination. It was based on that act of God in Jesus Christ that he had called his witnesses to experience and to see. Peter and James. Peter, a denier, and James, an unbeliever, until Jesus himself appears to them. It is this moment in their lives when the risen Christ comes to them and instills in them the real hope that he's been working towards all during his ministry, to unpack for them what it meant that he would announce to them that on the third day he would rise. And in this moment, they finally have all the pieces come together for them. They finally see the real enemy that he's been after, the real enemy that's been in his sights. The death and sin and devil and hell, these greater enemies that they simply had imagined that they would have to live with throughout their experiences in this life, that these would be defeated in their Lord. And Paul himself, not only a denier or an unbeliever, but an enemy. Don't allow those who would say all of these texts come to us from people who were already on board with Jesus, and so they are unreliable. These texts, they're given to us by people who saw him, who struggled with faith, who struggled with what his message meant at the time that they experienced it, and who wondered at its wonderful import and power after they saw him face to face. So Paul carries on his own witness. It is because of this preaching, it is because of this message that you believe, that you believed at first and received the gift of the Spirit and power, and it is what you will have strength in and what you will have faith in now. It is this first testimony that you must hold on to and not build straw houses on unstable foundations, but to place your feet firmly in the bedrock of what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the resurrection of the body is the hope that brings all of our hopes together. All of the various things that we learn throughout a Christian life, all of the various topics of faith or the texts that we meditate on from Portals of Prayer to Peeper, all of these have only their full meaning when they are brought together in this doctrine, in this message, that we look forward to a hope where God calls his creation good again, when God calls you perfect again, when the Lord our Father, who loves his creation and loves you dearly, has brought you through all the way to a new hope and a new reality, a perfect life that you've never experienced, that I've never experienced, but which is already fully formed in the mind of our God and is already fully proclaimed in the message of Paul and his compatriots and in our message in the church. It is what is unique about us. It is the one thing that we have to give to everyone else, to share with them that this life is not all there is, but that Jesus, in his resurrection, has already established the down payment, the proof, the guarantee, and the certainty of hope that God calls us out of our graves and gives us his new perfect life, together with all of those who have believed in him. Let this hope carry you forward these next weeks in anticipation of the journey to the cross, so that you can meditate fully on the passion of our Lord with the full anticipation hope of his resurrection, so that you can experience all the trials and anguishes and angst of this life and find in it the tutelage of a joyful and loving Father who has already given you the answer, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because he lives, you will live also. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.